Bob and I want to thank you for keeping us in prayer as we had a very short trip, but nevertheless a trip to Ukraine. Some of you on Facebook, you might have seen my picture. I'm very proud of that, you know, walking my Ukrainian daughter down the aisle, but before the aisle, actually a long path to the church. That's what they do. It was a pleasure I never had before, since I never had any girls. But that was fun. So those of you that are fathers, that have daughters, you got something great to look forward to. And as well, we were there to do some ministry with foster homes and a lot of legal work that needed to be done. And praise God, they were all accomplished well. And we're still jet lagging. I woke up this morning, I think, Barbara, at 3 in the morning. That's not bad. You know, it was like 1 and 2 in the morning for a little while. So this topic, I believe, is so important. But yet, today, in our day and age, and the church the way it is in America, is a topic that you need to broach with a lot of care. I think when we talk about living by the Spirit, walking steps with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, anything with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we have to balance it with a couple of things that has been happening, that have been happening the last 20 or 30 years. First, there is a big, big misunderstanding amongst evangelical Christians. And it touches in the area, in the direction of our charismatic brothers and sisters. I have no issue with our charismatic churches at all. In fact, some of my best friends and relatives work in Assemblies of God churches or charismatic churches or Pentecostal churches. They're great. But it's been getting a little extreme lately, and there are a lot of misunderstandings on that. So when we touch this, automatically Christians, you know, think, oh, you're talking about that kind of stuff. No, not at all. This is the Word of God. See, there's a mix-up with some of the extreme fragments of the charismatic and Pentecostal churches and even evangelical Christians promoted by groups such as International House of Prayer, Bethel Ministry in California, some of these prophetic things, the dominion stuff that's going on, including even our own former governor who was a part of that. All these things are confusing people and certainly confusing a lot of Christians. We need to be careful about that. On the other extreme, the churches have gotten to a place where often when we talk about spiritual things, we want to tackle spiritual things with human efforts. Human efforts that really don't relate to spiritual matters, but really relate to things that we can do as men and women. And so in our seminaries even, we're really focusing on these kinds of things a lot, and I'm not against counseling by any stretch, but that seems to be a huge thing going on. Christian counseling, you know, I believe in it. Barbara is a good Christian counselor, and that's one of the things that's happening. Apologies here. But sometimes we just take the counseling methodologies of the world and then bring it into the church and throw in a few scriptures, and we call that, you know, living the Christian life and helping people to live the Christian life. But that isn't what this is talking about at all. This is specifically talking about living by the Spirit. And so today we want to talk about that. And, you know, the title is, What If God's People Lived by the Spirit? What difference would that make? First of all, well, they'll be distinctly different. Distinctly different. The passage here begins by making a command. Next slide, please. By giving a command. I wanted that slide because I like it. Well, go back. I like that slide. Yeah. Whoa, okay. Anyway, it's a little like M&M, which is my favorite candy, all right? So. When you get to it, you get to it. The passage begins by giving a command. It is a command by God. It is an imperative. Walk in the Spirit, right? Walk. It is a command. That matters. I'm going to touch on that later. The second thing it tells us clearly is it is something that cannot be done by choice. And therein lies one of the things I talked about. You know, we can counsel people all we want to, but you can't walk in the Spirit on your own abilities. It doesn't work that way. The flesh, the word the flesh in the scripture here, in the Greek, is the word sarx. This is what it means. It can mean the body, just like you and I. We have a body. This is the flesh. This is sarx. But in the Greek, it means more than that. It can also mean and inclusive of the way of the world. Okay? You just do it by the worldly means. Okay? You think that way, you plan that way, you devise that way, you know, you live that way. It sucks. You're living by the flesh. And so I want to feed my family, I gotta go work, I gotta earn money. That's the way of the world. Okay? I'm sick, I go to the doctors, I take medicine. That's the way of the world. Now, not to say that there's anything wrong necessarily with these, because we do have a physical body. But sarx, the body will die. And as God's people, we need to live by the Spirit. We need to take step in the Spirit. We need to live distinctly different, because it is different. When we read the scriptures and we read those words, you know, there are four categories that you can categorize them if you want to, that passage of what the world is about. First of all, it is all about the body, you know. You used to live like this, and includes sexuality a lot there. It's like we're just plagued by the desire and the power of the body to dominate us. Then it goes on and talks about idolatry. We're talking about a relationship in which we do not want to have a relationship with the living God. We do idolatry, we worship other gods, other kinds of things. These are the things of the world. And then it goes on, the third area are the relationships that we have with people. Envy, you know, jealousy, all these kind of things. We damage our relationship. The things that we do and the things that we encounter with people, they're all just all messed up, because when we operate on the basis of the flesh, that's what happens. And then finally, it deals with addiction. Addicted to all kinds of stuff. And if that's not one of the major problems of our world today, it's that of addiction. And this is it. But as God's people, we are distinctly different. We are not to be like that. We're not supposed to be living that way, just a little better. We can handle it a little better. There are all kinds of programs on television. There's all kinds of stuff going, all kinds of counseling things, trying to teach us to live better. But we are distinctly different. We're not like that. I think one of the biggest struggles of today is that God's people are very, very much exactly alike the world. When they do these surveys, you know, who watches this, who watches that, the programs, it's about the same thing. I remember when MTV first came out. I know now it's not a big deal. People watch it all the time. But once upon a time, you know, in the 80s and so forth, the 90s, you know, as Christians, we thought MTV was terrible. It was a terrible program, you know. There's all kinds of teenagers with sexuality going left and right. And then they did a survey, and they found that just as many Christians watch that program as any other program. And they did all kinds of other programs. And I'm going to tell you, everything is about the same. Christians and non-Christians pretty much live the same way, except one person, you know, says he's a Christian, another one says I'm not. There are no differences at all. You cannot be convicted of being a Christian in most cases in America, because we don't live that way. But the scripture says we need to be distinctly different. We need to walk in step with the Spirit. We cannot be just like everybody else. We need to keep in step. Now, what does that mean? I love this command. You know, God is telling us to make a choice. You know why I love it? Because unlike my little puppy at home, unlike the fish that is my fish tank, unlike all the creatures that we encounter, human beings were endowed with the image of God. We are giving the image of God, and it makes us so different than the rest of creation, any and everything, be it the sunshine or the flowers or the creatures that we encounter, you know. We are different because they operate on instinct, they operate on things. They do not have that kind of will. They might have a choice to eat that food, whatever it is. It is like that with men and women. We were made in the image of God. And in that image, we were given not only our soul, our personality, and all these things. We are breathing to us a spirit of life. We have a spirit. And in that spirit, we have a choice. We can make decisions. We have a volitional ability. We have a will. When God commands us to do something, it defines that we have a choice to obey or disobey. And I want to tell you, that means so much because it elevates us as God's creation high above everything else. We are even higher than the angelic beings, ultimately. They will serve us. And so when the command is, keep in step, God is giving us a command for us to choose not to choose. And unfortunately these days, and I'm sure it's been like that for the last 2,000 years too, too many of God's people do not, will not follow the command. Instead, they want to continue to live with the socks, you know, with the flesh in their lives. And I want to tell you, the flesh does things so different than the spirit. You see, to keep in step with the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit of God, means that we follow after the Holy Spirit. We do things, we think things, we make choices that the Spirit of God enables us to. The flesh, on the other hand, is totally different. We do it according to what we used to do it, how we used to do it, the way that the world wants us to do it. And it's huge. Because of time, I'm going to go to the third point. And when we make that choice to follow or to keep in step with the Spirit, there is a distinct impact. There is a distinct impact. Not only is your life changed, many other lives are changed. I want to get here a little bit because I think it's really, really important. I think probably the number one reason why people don't give their lives to Jesus Christ is because of us. At the same time, the number one reason why people do is because of us. Because we are the impact maker. We make the impact. Now, you who are parents, you who have children at home, or children anyway, for that matter. They need to see that you, your faith, makes a difference. Your kids are really bright, especially if they're teenagers. They begin to see in you what is happening. You say you are a Christian, you go to church, you come to CBC, you go to Sunday school, you do all these things, and then your kids are looking at your faith in Christ and seeing whether it makes a difference in your life. And then they're going to say, I don't know if I want to believe that. Or they're going to say, I really want to believe that. You see, you are the impact maker. And you believe in Jesus Christ, and you have that faith in you, but yet, you know what? You're doing everything that the world people does, you know? Whatever it is, you know, they work to death, you know? Day and night making money. You're doing the same thing. Your kid's looking at you and saying, what difference is their faith? Is my father's faith? What difference is my mother's faith? Or, you know, you're constantly arguing at home. You won't let anything go. You know, you're fighting with your wife. You're fighting with your husband. And your kids are listening to these fights. And they say, they said they're Christians. What difference does it make? My friend's parents do the same thing. They're Muslims. My friend's parents do the same thing. They're atheists. And maybe for some of you, you're constantly struggling with certain things. You're struggling with finances all the time. You're talking about it all the time. You're worried about it all the time. You don't know what to do. And your kids are thinking, wait a minute. I thought my father was a Christian. The Bible says don't worry about those things. I'm worrying about it all the time. You see, what's got to happen is that our faith has to impact our actions, our desires, the things that we do. But the only way that can happen is if you allow the Spirit of God to work in your life. You have to walk in step with the Spirit.
And so it goes on after describing these four categories of fleshy things. It goes on and begin to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And you begin to go through those categories and say, wait a minute, that is how we are to live. And we don't need to be super Christians to live that way. We are supposed to live that way because as God's people, we have made a choice to walk in step with the Spirit. And so, you know, I have people I may not like a lot, but I can love on them. You know, my wife may yell at me, and she never does, but, you know, she yells at me, and I don't have to respond in kind. You know, I have a lot of fluctuating situations and tremors in my life, but I have peace, you know. I can go home. I can be smiling. I can be really, really confident in the power of God in my life and my family. You know, your children are going to see that. And they're going to say, I think I want to have what my father has. Your coworker is going to see that. And they're going to be thinking about whether Christianity is real or not. I think God's people, you know, we need to be walking in step with the Spirit. And if you don't know what that means, you know, it's not about suddenly something transforming you and next thing you know, you blow up with the speaking in tongues and all kinds. Not. I believe in the gift of speaking in tongues, but that's not what this is talking about. I've met some of those most raunchy Christians in my life who spoke in tongues. That doesn't change you to be walking in the Spirit. It's not about, you know, making sure that, you know, I get all the step-by-step teaching and counseling so that I can. No, it's not. It is having the Spirit of God in your life and knowing that as I make a choice to walk in step with Him, wonderful things will happen. You know, I'm troubled with sometimes some of the statistics of how we're so like the rest of the world. So what's going on? The church is not supposed to be like the rest of the world. God's people are not to be walking in the flesh. We're to be walking in the Spirit. And I heard two staff members that I've had in the past who made this statement. So everybody has a problem with pornography. Really? Not so. Not people who are walking in the Spirit. I know tons of people. I know people in this church here that are not struggling with something that the world struggles with day in and day out. I can tell you straight out, I crucified that a long, long time ago, never struggled with it since I was a teenager. Not because I'm better, but simply because by the power of the Spirit of God, you don't have to be. And if you are here today, you need to know that you don't need to be and you should not be. By the power of the living God, the Spirit of God will change that. I've heard people say, you know, everybody's got some addiction somewhere, alcohol, drugs, whatever. Really? Not if you walk in the Spirit. Or everybody's got an anger issue. Really? Not so. And I worry all the time. I can't help it. You know, I don't know what my finances are going to be. The world's falling apart. Really? Not if you walk in the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, if you don't follow the ways of socks, the flesh, you will not have to live that way. For 2,000 years, millions of God's people have lived that way. To a place where people sense who we are. And are impacted by us. Sometimes they're impacted in a bad way too. They're so impacted that they just hate us. You think the Christians in the Mediterranean, in the Middle East, you know, they're impacting their world to a point where the Muslims are killing them because they can't stand them. Why do you think our world is so politically correct? Why are they against you, so against you if you're pro-life? Because every time you mention that a baby is alive in the womb, you know, you bring guilt into their lives. You say they want to silence you. But that's how you impact this world. Sometimes we have to suffer for it. But nevertheless, when we walk in the Spirit, we will walk according to the ways of the Almighty God. And when we do that, let me tell you, we will change the world. We still can. We still will. And I believe that CPC can be an instrument of change if we allow the Spirit of God to minister in us and through us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you today. I want to thank you that we don't have to live this life on our own. And it's not legalism by any stretch. God, I want to thank you that we have the Holy Spirit in us for us to live in step with you. Oh God, I pray for each person here in this room that each person's faith will match up with the actions that we live and choose. We thank you so much for the privilege and the wonderful and wonderful promise of a life that's unbelievable. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.